So without further ado, we got Caleb Evans and Jim Mumper.
Nice to be here. Nice to see you guys this morning. And we've had a good time, Caleb and I, just trying to put together something that we could do together. But you know that he just graduated from Cal State San Marcos. And if that wasn't enough fun, he turned 23 a few days later, right? A couple days ago. So happy birthday, belated. When I grew up, going to school and all that, I wasn't into sports. I liked to watch sports, but I wasn't a sports guy. I wasn't a musician. I wasn't the popular kid at all. Still not. But I wasn't one who excelled in school. My kids have double the grade point average that I did, somewhere around there, you know. And I wasn't really that. You know, I just was someone who had maybe a couple friends here and there, and just always kind of felt a little bit odd in some kind of way. But then I came into the military, and that was a place where I found a little bit more somewhat community in some way. But I was still, at that time, I was still lost. I was still someone who was trying to make my own way in life. And at 23, I gave my life to the Lord, and things changed. But I moved to a new city somewhere in the, you know, within the first year of being a Christian. I moved to a new city. I knew nobody there. I'd only driven through the city once before in my life. And I wanted to find a church community, and I was looking, and I started to get involved with the church, but it was kind of hard for me to, you know, to meet new people there. And then one day I walked into another church. Someone told me I should look for this church. It was the pastor of a church I had gone to in Whittier, and it was really hard to find this church. Really hard to find it. But one day I found it, and I went to a midweek Bible study there. And when I walked in that church, I saw a lot of people that were kind of like me. You know, they're in my age group. You know, some had kids and some were singles, but there were a lot of people there. And I instantly was met by someone who just welcomed me, wanted to, you know, ask me my name, introduce me to some other people. And by the end of the evening, I got invited by this group of people. They were all friends, and they invited me to go with them to Denny's and have coffee. You know Denny's, yeah. And what do you call that? The eternal cup of coffee just keeps on, never runs dry. And we sat around and just talked, and friendships started to be formed. And little did I know, at that particular time, when I walked in that door, that was going to be the church that I was going to eventually be sent out as a missionary, was eventually going to be ordained in and sent out for a real long time. And but it was this place that people just welcomed me. They saw who I was, and over a course of time, after about a year and a half, someone invited the assistant pastor, came to me one day and said, "Hey, I was thinking that you might want to lead a home group." And I was invited to lead a home fellowship in that church. And just little by little, I started to get involved more and more with leadership. Now, Caleb has a story he wants to tell you, and look out for some of the commonalities. And there are definite differences. But there's also some real commonalities. Look out for those.
Thank you, Jim. Hi, my name's Caleb, if you don't know me. Hi, Caleb. So, preacher's anonymous. Anyway, so my story, for the purpose of this message, begins back in my high school days, so circa 2009, 2010. Now, God has gifted me with a bright mind and a keen ability to memorize information. If you know me well, you know I love to recite movie quotes from Princess Bride to Groundhog Day. And this ability to memorize things certainly helped me perform well in school, but I also admittedly prided myself in being the know-it-all in the class, or trying to be the best, I was always the kid about whom the teacher would say, "Does anyone know the answer besides Caleb?" and that was me. I was that kid, and I kind of owned that title. I would always strive for the best answer with what I knew, and always trying to score the highest on exams, and always try to win in class games and activities, and trying to elevate myself, and that I may look good in front of my peers, in front of my classmates. But even when I was trying to get the correct answer at a classroom game, or when the teacher asked me a question directly, there would always be inevitably those moments where I would think I had the right answer, but I would give the wrong answer, and the embarrassment and the frustration that I would feel in those moments was uncomfortable for me, because I felt embarrassed. I felt I thought I knew it, but I didn't, and I had this burden on myself to be perfect. And I think we all know none of us are perfect, and we can't strive to be perfect. But I was trying to be. And as a result of that, I didn't leave any room for myself to be vulnerable. And fast forward to 2012. I had just graduated high school, and I was beginning my college track at Palomar College. I later transferred to Cal State San Marcos, but that's a bit later. So I started out at Palomar, and starting out at Palomar, all my friends from high school went off to MiraCosta College, because it was closer, or to some big-name university, you know, USC and UC Davis and whatnot, but not Palomar. Most of my friends from high school didn't go to Palomar. And so entering the school year, my first semester there, I was still feeling alone and without that genuine connection that I was still seeking. Because in high school, because of trying to elevate myself, all my friendships were seemingly superficial, most of them anyway. They didn't have the depth and the wholeness that I think we all desire in friendship. And so, looking for that genuine connection still in Palomar, but not being able to find it, I was struggling to make new friends in the classroom, but still wasn't as the kinds of friendships that I was really wanting, that my heart was really yearning for. And I remember one particular day so distinctly, because it was such a transformative moment for me in my life. Because that was the day I came across my current college ministry, University Christian Fellowship, which I've been with for the past 5 years, but I'll get to that. And so that day, I was walking around campus, and I came across this little small group Bible study led by University. And they were out. There's this big, if you've ever been to Palomar College, and it's a beautiful campus, they have this big grassy area at the front of campus next to this big clock tower, if you can imagine that. And there's this little group of people out here on this little blue tarp out laid out on the grass under this canopy, this canopy tent that said InterVarsity on it. And that stood out to me. And I walked up, and the leader of that small group, her name was Brianna, noticed me and saw me, came up to me, and warmly welcomed me into that small group. And I met her, and I met several other people that day, part of that small group. And we just started talking about God and school and where we came from and where we're going and our faith and where we'd like to be, what our hopes and dreams are. And it was so good. It was, for me, it was really refreshing because I just came into this little small group only several minutes earlier, and they hardly knew me, but they welcomed me in so easily and so with such genuine invitation. And that was something warm. That was something precious to me. And over the course of that next year, I would begin to develop friendships with all the people in that group, and I'm so grateful because I'm friends, very close friends now with most of them to this day, and we still talk, and we still catch up, and hang out, and it's really wonderful. And but over the course of that next year, I would really begin to, being a part of that small group helped me to break down the pride barrier and the pretense that I was putting up, and allowed me to help me to come out of my shell and to embrace vulnerability for the sake of developing wholesome, genuine, loving friendships, relationships with my friends in that group, whom I would later begin to understand more fully that they were my brothers and sisters. And that is something, that is one of the most precious truths that I take with me throughout my life now is understanding relationship in the body of Christ. And I'll talk about that in a little bit. But around a year's time, I've been in the small group. I was invited by one of the leaders to go on to InterVarsity Student Leadership, which would mean leading a small group Bible study of my own and participating in that, leading with a co-leader, discussing ways to grow the ministry, to invite people in. And that's something that really spoke to me, because Brianna reached out to me with the same, with such sweet love and invitation and being seen in that group as for who I was, and not feeling like I had to put up a face or that I had to elevate myself. Again, embracing vulnerability. I could just be who I was. I wanted to take that and that experience of being touched from the bottom of my heart and bring that to and give other people the opportunity to experience that same kind of invitation, that same kind of affection and fondness and being seen. And so for the past several years, being a part of InterVarsity Leadership, I eventually did join, and it was such a joyous time being a part of that group and being a part of the ministry and working to give more people that opportunity to come into those kinds of experiences in community in a small group setting. I've been leading a small group Bible study for the past several years. I call it Refresh Group, focused on finding rest in God in the midst of a busy semester, because that really is, I was on, that God had put on my heart to reach out to people with that love and to have them experience the rest in the midst of all the stress, in the midst of all the papers and all-nighters for exams and everything else, that they could find rest in knowing God in community and learn and growing in Him together with a family, a community that loves and sees them for who they are. And that was something something so precious to me. And I absolutely love being a part of that, and the as well as the experience that it's given me in being a leader and being stepping out in faith to reach out and invite people into those experiences, just as I was invited into that experience. And that is essentially my story for the purpose of this message. Now I'll turn it over to Jim.
So you probably would pick up the commonality, right? I mean, there's definitely some differences. He's bright and I'm less bright. Now, we're both extremely pleasant to be around and very likable and all that stuff. Caleb more so than me, maybe. But that whole idea of being invited and being seen and being loved and part of the result of that is being empowered. And we both share that in common, that the empowerment that comes from those things. In John chapter 13, verse 34 and 35, it says this: "A new command I give you, love one another as I have loved you. So you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another." Now, I don't know about you, but I find this verse challenging. You know, isn't it? It's challenging. But as we look at how something that the Apostle Paul says in Philippians 2:3, he kind of gives us rails to run on, or gives us some kind of help to see how do we do this? And here's what he says: "Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of others." So what he's saying here, to me, is it's not about me. It's not about you. Right? That's what he's telling us. It's not all about us. It's about the other. It's about looking out of the interests of others, and humility, value others above yourselves. So the question for us today is, how do we love better? How do we love better? We're going to pass the baton here.
Cue Jeopardy music. No. But that is the question that you want to help answer today, is how do we love better? How do we grow in deeper in our understanding of love and how we express it? And the scripture that I look to as a basis for where I want to go with this is Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24 and 25. "Let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching." So, I think the optimal phrase there is "let us consider." That's what I want to emphasize here, is that the writer of Hebrews here is exhorting us to consider, to think about. Think about the ways of love and how to express love for the purpose of building relationships and building others up. And so that is my hope and aim in this part of our message, to give you some practical perspective for how to view our relationship. Or relationships as a body of Christ, and to ultimately take that beyond the church, but within the family. I think it's important to recognize, first and foremost, the foundation of our togetherness, of our what brings us together, which is our union with Christ. And the Apostle John writes in his gospel: "To all those who did receive Jesus, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. And so I think that, again, to me is one of the most precious truths in all of Scripture, because it gives us such glorious hope of identity as who we are, each individually and together, in that what Jesus did for us on the cross, he was crucified on, for the sake of forgiveness and for the sake that we may know him fully and come to him without blemish and without without sin, weighing us down, that we are united with him by his blood. We are united to Christ, and he is not ashamed. God is not ashamed to call us his children. Jesus is not ashamed to call us his brothers and sisters. And likewise, because we believe in Jesus, he puts his Holy Spirit in us, and the same Holy Spirit that each of us has. And so in the same way, we are all united to one another and to each other together by his Spirit. And which means we are brothers and sisters in the most unshakable, inextricable way. Even, I would say, deeper than blood relationships. That is the power of Christ and his union through him and through the Holy Spirit binding us together. And that is something truly wonderful and something to embrace as a truth, as a principle for our church and for every body of believers. And so, my favorite example to give on this regard, this is an example I picked up from one of my favorite pastors and theologians, John Piper, is he gives this example. So, some time ago, back in 2010, there was this amazing story, and you may remember it, of these miners in Chile that were trapped deep underground, 33 of them. That's a big number. So that's how many lives that you're thinking about that are at risk here in this situation, trapped under all this weight, under this ground, this dirt, with at first maybe very little hope of getting out, or only a glimmer of hope. And if you think about it, there was this incredible and extraordinary expense and effort on the part of state officials and NASA and other countries, that they put in all this time and resource and effort to figure out a way to get these miners out, to rescue them from this trap underground, under the weight of the earth. And what they devised was this little capsule that would go down into the earth and bring a miner up one by one, because that's all the capsule had room for. And I remember that I watched the video of this just the other day, and how spectacular that day was as the rescue, is the culmination of everything, all the effort over the past months and months. Is finally coming to its pinnacle. And so, they sent the capsule down, and they bring the first miner up, and he comes out, black smoke, and he sees the faces of the families and the media and the TV newsmen and the crewmen and the state officials who are there, and the joy is just full. And the gratitude is just full, and the wonder is just—it's—is amazing, and even more so, increasing joy, increasing relief as more miners get brought up one by one through the tube, down and then up, down and then up, down and then up, and when the last miner is brought up, and that would mean all 33 miners are saved, have been rescued in this extraordinary mission to save them from this this grave situation that they were in. And when the last miner is brought up and reunited with his family. You know who hugs? Everybody hugs. You've got the families are hugging, and the state officials are hugging, the TV crewmen are hugging. Everyone's just hugging. Why? It's just what you do when you've been rescued. And all the more so if everyone had been rescued. So, and that is where we are in Christ. God has rescued us from our sin, from our shame, our addiction. So I know many of us here in the church have been rescued from drug addiction and from alcohol and from abuse. And God has brought us out of that pit. And we are standing now on solid ground, safe, as safe can be, with everyone else who has been also. And so just embrace that truth. Embrace that truth that we are saved, each of us individually, but together. Mm-hmm. And with that amazing feeling of, I can't believe we're here, as we look at each other. You know, we're not trapped. We're not at the bottom of the mine. And so that is, I think, imperative, beginning with the foundation, recognizing and embracing our union with Christ, that we have been rescued together. And the second point is, well, you might ask the question, so how do we go deeper with that? How do we embrace that calling, that truth, that and that identity, that we are one and one body of Christ together as a body, united with Christ, united with each other? And one of the, I think, the more practical ways that I look to employ regularly in my own life is thinking about all the ways that other believers are endeared to us. Well, what do I mean by that? I mean, think about all of your relationships, all of the people that you know, all the people who are precious to you, friends and family, brothers and sisters in the church. And we certainly have those friends and those family who, when we think about this person, it just evokes a really special feeling. Like when I think of you, I think of how bold you are, how sweet you are, how loving you are, or those moments that we share. I remember that one time when da da da, and we think, because those things draw us closer together, and it's something not only that we can grow in with the people that we already know, but we're meeting new people and inviting them in to the church and to the family, that we may find new things that endear them to us, to each of us. And so that union of love is being expanded. And we grow, I think, closer to the mind and heart of Jesus, in that we are seeing more people as Jesus sees them. And I think that is ultimately one of the end goals, I think, of our coming together as a body of Christ and loving each other. We are seeing each other as God sees each of us, and growing that, going deeper. And one of the clear expressions of this, finding what endears other believers to us, is Paul, the Apostle Paul, writes about in his letter to the Christians in Rome, that about a spiritual gift, these spiritual gifts, and one of those spiritual gifts that he mentions briefly is a gift of encouragement. And this gift of encouragement is essentially, I think, in Paul's understanding, like all the spiritual gifts, meant to be an expression of God's love, in that God's love is, when we express the gift of encouragement, what distinguishes it from all the other encouragement that people and non-Christians give on a day-to-day basis, is that for us, as believers in Christ, with the Holy Spirit, God's love is being transferred from him through me to the person receiving the encouragement. And so, and that is what you, that is what's unique about all, I think, of the spiritual gifts, and especially the gift of encouragement. When we receive a word from God, or when we think about just the ways that, you know, what endears this person to me, then we are almost in a sense channeling the power of the Holy Spirit, God's love, speaking to that person through us when we receive that word, and when we grow in affection, our affection for that person is being intensified, and we share with that person, and they receive it, and they grow in their identity, and they're being seen, and they're being known, just as God knows and sees them. So one of the other practical ways to exercise this divine transfer of love is through the gift of hospitality. And Jim is going to talk a little bit about that.
Thanks. So in Romans 12:13, it says, share with the Lord's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. And really, hospitality is quite simply just extending an invitation to others to that place where you kind of hold as your own holy place, your own home. It's kind of inviting people into your life. There's a ways, other ways of practicing hospitality. We can go out to eat, so to speak, or hang out in a park, or do something. But that's really more fellowship. Hospitality is where we are serving someone else by inviting them into our kind of holy place. Now, don't you see that as your, like, into your castle? That's your domain. And we're basically saying, you're opening up your life, and it's a place where we can share our lives with one another. And now, we like to have people over. We have people over, you know, fairly regularly for dinner or whatnot, or we might have people staying with us. But for those of you who have been to our house fairly regularly, you probably don't know this about our house. But right when you walk into our house, we have a hole in our ceiling. Now, that's for those who have been to our house. They probably don't know that, because some people have been there so often, it's like they don't see it, but there's literally a hole in our ceiling right when you walk in. And right above that hole, you can get a shower, because our bathtub can just drip right out down that hole. It's really not pouring water down, but every once in a while in the morning we'll come down and say, oh, there's, because we have to fix that, change the bathtub. It's been like that for a long time. Probably over a year. But the thing is, it's not perfect. It's generally, I mean, our house is fairly clean. You know, it's we don't have stuff kind of all over, thanks to one member of our family. I won't name that person or what her name is, but... Thank you.
The names have been changed to protect the guilty. Right.
But you can probably guess. You have four guesses to figure out who that is. But you open up and say, this is who we are. It's a place of being vulnerable. And I've been to many of your homes as well. And there's something powerful in hospitality. And it's like that gift of encouragement that is also like, as Caleb said, every other spiritual gift, like this gift of healing. I don't necessarily in and of myself have the ability to lay hands on someone and say, be healed, but God through me does that. And it's his way of showing his love. Likewise, with encouragement and hospitality, it's the Holy Spirit moving through us. And I don't know how many people have expressed that he, you know, there's something that comes from that we... We're being vulnerable. It's a way to be vulnerable and say, this is who I am, quite simply. This is who we are. And we invite people into that. And it does something powerfully in people's lives.
Thank you, Jim. So as we look at all this and look at the ways that we express spiritual gifts of God, transferring his love, working his love through us to the people receiving that, that they may experience the fullness of his love through the expression of these gifts, and within the family and beyond the family, taking that outside and thinking about the ways, or asking the question, who isn't here that could benefit from being here? And not benefit in the sense of material benefit, but benefit in the sense of that their mind and their heart would just really feel that really need to feel the love and the affection and the joy and the peace and the identity and the forgiveness that Jesus has for them from him and through him and through each other in worship and in ministry and all. And so I think our ultimate aim for this message, this is our call to action here, is that God is calling us essentially outside of ourselves and taking our experiences in the family of Christ, being invited, meeting Jesus and meeting each other and being seen and loving each other and growing in that with increasing joy, increasing love, and fullness and wholeness, that God is calling us to step further into that experience, into that calling, just as Jim and I had experienced that being invited and being seen and loved by Jesus and by my friends, my brothers and sisters in that small group, and Jim and his church, and having that love so working on us that it became an empowering love. The love deepened and it became empowering for us, that we felt God calling us to take that same love and share it with people who give other people like us the same opportunity to experience that love. And so God is calling us to step further into that calling, to intensify our affections for each other, and to, seeing each other as God sees each of us in the most beautiful and remarkable way. And I believe through the power of the Holy Spirit, that can happen. I think the things that we think about, even in the case of, we imagine what heaven might be like in terms of the love and the joy that we experience with each other. And to a sense, we'll never be quite there in terms of the fullness, the infinite joy and the love that Jesus will be pouring into our hearts for each other and for him. But the Holy Spirit, we have his same Holy Spirit, his same divine Holy Spirit working in each of us to make our lives and our experiences on earth trending in that direction, that we may be experiencing increasing joy and love and affection and fullness, and that it may be truly wonderful and encourage and give hope to our hearts, even in the midst of difficult times. And so with that, growing and stepping in further into that calling, learning how to extend that love to those outside the family, again, asking the question, who isn't here that needs to receive? And this could be friends, it could be family, it could be people we meet on the street, it could be people from long ago. God has amazing ways of working in our hearts and in our minds about all the amazing web of relationships that we have. And when we do start conversations with all of those categories of people, we invite them in to the family because we want to see them a part of the family, enjoying perfect or increasing communion and unity with Jesus, with God, and with each other in a union of love that is so beautiful. And I think certainly Jesus desires for his church to grow more and more into, that we step further into our calling as believers, as lovers of God and lovers of each other, as we mature, as we grow, as a church and individually. Mm-hmm. And that those people that we invite may experience the love of Jesus and the love of community, of family, because we say we are the body of Christ, but truly we are a family. We are brothers and sisters, again, united to Christ by his blood, united to each other by his spirit. And that is the truth, and we are rescued, and we are not falling anymore. And so our prayer for all of you is that we would step further into that calling, into that family, that calling of love, because it truly is a wonderful thing that I think is at the heart of Jesus' ministry, is inviting people into a union of love with him. You see that all over the gospel in terms of the Samaritan woman and the woman caught in adultery and everyone else. I think Jesus is reaching out to people with love, and the same love, so that they may experience the same love that he shares with his disciples and with all of us, because he desires for everyone to be saved. And so that is our message to you, is, again, taking our experiences of being invited, being seen, being empowered, and growing into that and intensifying our affections and loving more and loving better and deeper, and extending that beyond these church walls and beyond the setting of small group, that we may invite other people like us into that same kind of inviting experiences, and in turn that they may encounter deeper, more empowering love. Thank you.